Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs in Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my hosts as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season two of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
Ashley, guess what I'm doing this weekend?
Hi, Ben.
Hi.
What are you doing this weekend?
Well, first off, welcome to another episode of the Almost Famous podcast. I was just so excited to tell Ashley that I am flying to Los Angeles for a day to play golf with Wells Adams as we get prepared for the Invited Celebrity Classic in Dallas, because we're going to play in LA to get prepped for our tournament in 3 weeks. You know how excited I am about this. I'm ready.
Why don't you guys just become professional golfers? You'd be like the official golfers of Bachelor Nation.
Be a good idea. If anybody's listening and wants to watch us play golf, you can watch us on NBC
for this
tournament in
cool.
Dallas. Yeah, it's going to be a big deal. I think in LA, we're going to be playing with like the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Wells plays golf with them sometimes.
But wait, isn't that this weekend?
Yeah.
You couldn't possibly be seeing the Jonas Brothers this weekend because I am seeing them on Saturday.
Doesn't mean they're not there on Friday.
Friday? They are not there on Friday because they have a whole week of shows. They're going through each of their albums. I'm sorry, on Broadway this week, starting tonight.
Oh my gosh. That sounds like an awesome deal. So what, you get tickets to a Broadway Jonas Brothers show. Everybody out there is going, tell me more. How can I get tickets? What's going on here?
I think they sold out super duper fast. It was like almost like a Taylor Swift situation. You know, it's a Broadway theater. So depending on the theater, it's anywhere from like four, I want to say like 1,000 to like 2,000 seats. And you know what I do? I texted our producer, Amy Sugarman. I said, do we have a little hookup here? And she goes, I got you covered.
Whoa.
I know. Shout out to Amy. I know. I spent an entire 8 weeks in New York. And then I saw that Jonas was, of course, starting their series of shows the day that I was supposed to leave. And I was like, you know what? Of all these days, although I will miss the nostalgia, the day that I want to go the most is going to be the night that they play the new album for the first time. So that's what I'm going on Saturday night. Plus, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to you know, overshadow your golf weekend with Wells.
You are though, but it's fine.
But not only do I go back to New York on Saturday, thank goodness for my mom and Jared for staying home and taking care of Dawson. Like I've been all over the place. Tomorrow, Jared and I are flying to Tampa because we have another opportunity to meet Tom Brady. We're going to this autograph event that have been planned since October, but we didn't know until about an hour before recording this podcast, got an email saying you will have a personal 60-second one-on-one meeting with Tom.
He's so going to start thinking you're a stalker.
No, it's a second meeting. I said, Jared, how is it possible that you've idolized this man it's been over 20 years. And now you're going to meet him twice in 6 weeks. Goodness, what are the odds of that?
Would you fly across country to meet me?
To meet you, Ben, don't even joke about this, because you know that if I wasn't part of Bachelor Nation, that yes, I would. You know this. If I wasn't part on this side of Bachelor Nation, of the cast side, not the fandom side, because I would have gone to all these events and done my whole fangirl thing with all of y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the show kind of ruined your fangirl stage. You kind of got numb to it a little bit. It comes out
probably
every now and
good,
again.
Ben. Yeah, do I need good. More fandoms to get behind?
No, I think you're good. But I mean, I do think it matured you into a level now where you're look at these people equal. I mean, honestly, Tom Brady's lucky to meet you.
Oh,
He is.
Jared's do you think that maybe he saw our reel and that maybe he'll recognize us? Maybe not from the moment, but maybe just from the content?
Yeah, maybe as you're walking away, he's oh, that's the people. I've heard about them.
That girl put the Disney song behind me. Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Well, that's going to be a great weekend. I can't wait to hear more about this Jonas Brothers concert. It's a perk of working for iHeart. I guess there you can thank Amy and iHeart probably, because I'm sure.
Oh, that's an iHeart thing for sure. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, iHeart. Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing all right. Well, Ashley, it's another week in the show. Obviously, it's hometown week. We have a lot of opinions about hometowns. It's a lot of opinions about where the relationships are going. So let's just dive into it, okay?
Let's do it. I'm excited. I got that week off last week, and now I'm ready to talk batch again.
Yeah. Well, I want to start with the thing I really have the most opinions about. Here is my intro into this. I feel bad for Zach. I'm starting to understand Zach more, especially after this week. I don't change my opinion on Zach. Again, I think he's a great dude. I think he's there for the right reasons. I think he's a good bachelor. I just think at times he has confused me on his response to the women and their concerns. That's okay. If that's the only thing I got on this dude, that's a lot better than most seasons. I feel bad for Zach, though, because they are making him look so awkward at times, so weird at times, and it's not his fault. The shower scene at the beginning of this episode.
For some reason, I missed this shower scene. Somebody sent me the TikTok, but I've seen the shower scene very similar before.
It's not a Chris Soules shower scene where they pan down. It's not a shower scene that you watch and you go, that dude looks good. Now he looks good, right? He's in good shape. He's a good looking guy. His shirt's off. He obviously is very fit. All those things. But they show the piece, and it's a long shower, I'm assuming. I'm assuming this is a long piece of video. They're showing the piece that he's scrubbing his armpits.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him. Hygiene's important. He doesn't smell bad. I'm sure I'm proud of him. Again, this is not a criticism towards Zach. I'm wondering why they choose the scene where they're close up on his nipple, pan out to him scrubbing his armpit.
I don't know. Zach's the kind of guy I'd rather watch him put on aftershave or something, you know?
You know what? To be honest.
Great bod, but not a Chris Soules bod.
Just show a more sexy part of the shower. I mean, I don't even know if there's suds in this.
Well, I remember how I made fun of them for showing him washing his legs earlier in the season. I got a little shit for that.
I don't wash my legs very often. I mean, I put soap where I can reach. I'm not bending down scrubbing my calf. So good
for
him.
You're one of those people? Because I'm one of those people too. I guess I kind of wash my feet every time, but it's not I take a lot of effort.
No.
It's a little wipe.
Yeah, a little wipe. But I mean, so good for him for being very clean, but it does him a big injustice. I think, I don't know when they put that in there. I can't imagine anybody that watched it was America's gonna just be swooning over how clean his armpit is. Anyways, we can move on from this. I just had a lot of opinions on it, mostly in protection of Zach.
Okay, got it. Because you're basically saying, come on, guys, there's very few bachelors, Nick, Ben, that we can really think. I mean, Nick, Ben. No, Ben, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I don't know why I threw you in there.
I knew you didn't mean it. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean it.
I was gonna correct you.
Oh yeah, I meant Chris. I was thinking about my trifecta of friends, you know? It's Chris, Ben, and Nick.
And only two out of three look good in a shower scene. I get it, Ashley.
Ben, it would be weird if I was watching you in the shower now, that'd be like real weird. But like back then, I would have been down.
You know, I think I texted you this the other day. Sometimes you post like videos I'm scrolling through and you're like promoting a bra. And I'm like, yeah, it feels like now I like all of a sudden have scrolled upon weird. My sister, like, you know, in a bra. And it's just like, yeah. It's a little weird.
He's like, brave of you, Ashley. You look like I couldn't do this. And I'm
yeah, it is brave.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you. But I'm sorry for the weirdness. Anyway, moving on. It is Gabby's hometown and she's in Vermont. And I do like the daytime portion of the date where they're basically sampling syrups.
They're sexually innuendoing a tree. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, they're doing that too. There was that too. Well, you explain that first.
I mean, that's what I mean. They're sampling syrups, which is great. And I think it's a very cute date, but they're like, there's a whole like scene where they're just sexually innuendoing a tree. Like they're like,
they're saying it's sticky and wet warm and their it's fingers not deep enough. Are getting it's stuck in places. Yeah.
That's what I got out of it. Maybe I'm just in a weird mood this week, but when I watched it, I was like, I mean, it's funny. You know, once or twice, like her first time when she said, I don't think she meant it. And that's when those are really funny because they just, you know, it's like,
yeah,
that's what they said jokes. But then
yeah,
they just kept going, which then makes it weird. Like there's a point where it makes it weird.
I totally agree. Yeah. Well, Zach would be the guy, right? That picks of all the syrups, the fake one, the one that's basically like high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
Which, Gabby as a Vermont person, resident, is super offended.
Should be, right?
I think probably, yeah. But that's great. And I think they should have definitely added the part that's in the credits at the end of the episode in here. So yeah. When Zach was on this podcast, he told me that an interesting fact about him was that he liked to put mustard on pancakes. That was his topping of choice, not confection or sugar, not chocolate chips or syrup or bananas or anything like that. He likes mustard, which actually kind of makes sense to me.
It does.
It seems like something you might find at like a Jewish deli. It's like a carb, like something, a thick carb with mustard. It makes sense. It's not absolutely outrageous. Do I think I would ever pick it over syrup? Absolutely not. But the weird thing that we find out about is that Gabby has never had one mustard and two ranch dressing. So at this point in her life, where I think she's like, what, she's 25, 26, it seems like a choice that she's been intentionally making.
Yeah, that's what I thought. She kind of acted like she just hasn't had it. Like it just hasn't happened in her life. And
yeah, right.
And
yeah.
My question is, you've had the opportunity and there has to be a backstory here that we didn't get. I agree that the credit should have been in the main show, because I think it makes sense for why this conversation existed in the first place. She's never had mustard, which I love mustard. Never had ranch dressing. Like she has a thing against condiments is what I'm taking from this. I don't know why. I would love to learn more, but ranch dressing makes so many things better.
Yeah. Like, yes, we love to dip our chicken nuggets and our french fries in ranch, right? But just to simply not have at any point in your life, like a Cobb salad with ranch, weirdness.
Yeah.
I want to see tomorrow on mustard. Women Tell All, she's not on Women Tell All because she's in the top three. But what I want to see in the finale episode is her have this for the first time. That's what I want to happen in the fantasy suites. Could you imagine if they showed us more of these bonding moments, these genuinely fun, funny moments about like favorite foods and weird things you haven't tried or normal things you haven't tried? It would be such a more interesting show at times.
I'm going to sit here tonight. I need to think about who I would be if I've never had mustard or ranch dressing. I bet I'd be a different human. I would probably be a better human. She's probably a pretty good person.
Are you the person? Do you like putting pizza in ranch? Like, are you a ranch on everything guy?
Not on everything, but there's certain things that I love ranch on, and there's certain types of ranches that I like, and there's certain types of ranches I don't like. But ranch dressing and I get along really well, and we've had a great relationship over the years. But I mean, I just wonder. It would be a different life for me. Well, Ashley,
a different college experience, particularly, right? I feel like in college you really put ranch on everything.
Yeah, late night ranch. That's what kept me healthy. the daytime suite, I will say, after the daytime portion of this date, she was the first hometown. I thought, unless a date goes really poorly, she's going home. I thought out of the final four, she to me felt like the connection was fine, but not. It's hard for me now because I just think Katie is far and away his favorite. And I think we're seeing signs of that. That's my opinion. I don't know if it's fact, but I just comparing Katie to Gabby, it felt like Katie and Zach's connection was so much better. And it also just feels like Zach enjoys his time around her more. Now, I do want to fast forward though and highlight Gabby's evening portion of the date with her family, which is an incredibly sweet family. They really showed up well. And her dad, dad needs to be like put on that on the Mount Rushmore of parents who have came on this show, and not in the like Peter's mom kind of way where they kind of like become a story. Just like how he handled that moment. He doesn't get a lot of time with his daughter alone. I know how that works, right? He doesn't have like hours to spend with her, and he's not going to get a lot of time with her after she leaves. But his little insight and his genuineness and care for her in that moment, and the wisdom that he like laid out on her, and the confidence he gave her to continue this journey, and was just special to me. It was really cool.
Yeah, he was an adorable man. One of the most supportive parents we've ever seen.
Yeah.
A lot of the times you feel like they're giving like fake harsh criticism towards the bachelor. It's like you knew what the kid was signing up for when they signed up for it. You may have already had this talk, but this was just supportive and so sweet. And the way that he loves his wife so much, that's what sticks out to me about the conversation. Yeah. He was like, "I'll always remember seeing your beautiful mother walk into the cafeteria, and I knew it was her that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. She was just so interesting." So it was sweet. So adorable. I love that. Yeah. She definitely has a great set of parents to look up to for this. And as I always find it to be interesting, with the divorce rate being as it is, even though it's getting better for our generation, I always find that there are more parents who are together during top 4 week than apart. And in this case, we had three married sets of parents.
That's interesting. I never thought about that.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes. that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The final piece here I'd like to add is, you know, the date goes great. Like, there's nothing that stands out to me from this hometown other than the support of Gabby's parents and the family and how comfortable it felt.
Mm-hmm. And how much her sister looks like a twin.
Yeah, that was true. I couldn't tell them a difference when they sat on the couch.
There were times, yeah.
What kind of shocked me, I didn't expect it, was Gabby's emotion as Zach was leaving. It felt as if... And I will say this, out of the final four at this point, she definitely seems to me like the one that is most
dependent on it happening.
Dependent, but also like into it. Like, I think she really loves Zach. And it felt like she was almost scared that it was going to end and she didn't know what it would do to her if it did. I didn't see that from her. I didn't expect it from her until it happened. And then I said, this is now making more sense on why they're where they're at, but she really cares about him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't agree?
No. I do. I don't think I'm as surprised though by okay. that. Because I remember I told you that I thought like Gabby was gonna be like top two a couple weeks ago.
You did.
This is definitely the top three that I've expect. It's definitely the top three I've expected for a couple weeks now.
It is. But did you expect Gabby to show the emotion she did? Now, outside of if you thought she was going to be there then or not, did you expect this type of emotion where she's saying, like, I forget her exact words, but pretty much saying, like, please don't go. Like, I won't see you again for a week. Like, those are big comments. If you're missing somebody, you know, after a week of them being away, like, you really care about this person.
I don't think this is what it is, but I'm just going to put it out there. Okay. Do you think it's insecurity or love?
I think it's love. I did not get any sense of insecurity out of this.
Okay. All right, well, I don't feel like I have anything more to say because I feel like she's been there. I feel like they've both been there together for a while.
Okay. Well, then we have Ariel's date. It's in New York City. To preface
this... Oh, wait, I do want to say one more thing. I'm so annoying. When I left that date, though, with his reassurance of her, I was like, she's definitely sticking around. There was, like, not a doubt in my mind that that Gabby would be safe. Do you agree with me?
No.
Like, she didn't... No? For me, it was like, okay, Katie and Gabby, 1,000% staying at the end of this episode. And then I said, it's between Charity and Ariel. Wasn't sure. Actually, I was calling Ariel to be eliminated at the end of this. More for the tension between the brother. And I think the more of like a cultural, I don't want to say shock, but difference that I think that living with her would be than living with anyone else.
Fair. No, I think you say things in the moment when somebody is pouring their heart out to you on the show that you don't exactly know always what you're saying. You're trying to reassure, but you're not looking at the consequences. I can attest to that.
That might happen. That might be happening again.
He might mean what he's saying, right? He might mean what he's saying. I can speak to this pretty confidently. He might be confident in what he's feeling, but you might communicate something not thinking of the consequences that are going to have to happen within days or weeks or hours. And so, no, I don't look into him saying, hey, this is all good, or, you know, we're going to make this work. You just say things thinking it's going to happen, and then all of a sudden, what do you know? You go on 3 other hometown dates, and they're all incredible, and your heart explodes, and now you're looking at Gabby going, I'm sorry, like, you're going home, and I know I said this, but this is weird, and I just misspoke. And that's tough. Well, I'm not giving him an out there. I just think it could happen.
Yeah, I particularly found this interesting because she said, but I'm the first hometown. Who knows what's going to happen from here? And we never hear them say that. We normally, it's like vague as to how, what would the order in which the dates, the hometown dates were taped.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that because that moment was so important that they kept hers as first so they could keep that scene in there and like maybe put a little like doubt into all of our minds.
Yeah. It's interesting that she even knew she was the first hometown. Typically the contestants don't even know, and the Bachelor
don't even know.
Is
asked
not to share like the order.
Ew. Yeah. Well, then never mind. My theory goes bust.
Yeah. What are you going to do? All right. So Ariel's hometown date. It's in New York City. Here's my thing with Ariel. Even though I thought Gabby would be going home this week, because here's the difference. I think Ariel and Zach's connection feels almost to me non-existent at this point compared to others. I just think Zach's into Ariel a lot.
I think you might be right. Okay. I think she's so much different than anyone that he's ever dated before. Yeah. So he's into that. Two, she's like elusive and mysterious. So he's into that.
And I think she almost keeps him chasing after her a little bit.
That mystery. Yeah.
So I think he's into it now. So I'm not surprised that she's still here. I just have yet to see her fully reciprocate the emotion that maybe a Gabby was expressing, or even a Charity was expressing, especially Katie. I mean, I think Katie and Zach to me are like, if this doesn't end up with those two together, I'm a shocker of the year, for me.
Yeah.
But I just don't think she's expressing like she's not going after him as much as some of the others, which could just be something he enjoys also. But her family is tough. Their date in New York City is a great day in New York City. There's not a lot to get into there.
All the food.
Yeah.
All the food tasting is fantastic.
It's very nice. Her family is tough. And I could relate with this. Jessica's family is 100% Italian.
Oh, okay. See, I thought you were going to say it reminded you of JoJo's brother, because I don't know that I've seen a brother that tough since JoJo's brother. There's a couple of memorable brothers. Let's see. Desiree also had a really memorable brother who couldn't stand The Bachelor and all that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I could relate with JoJo's brothers there too. And I saw a lot of that in there. And I definitely could relate with Zach seeing in a moment where you can't really answer any questions fully, because you'd have to give so much away, yet you're being put on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
But Jessica's family is very protective. And so they're 100% Italian. And they, you know, if you know Italians, they love their family a lot. They care for their family a lot. And so entering into that family for the first time, there was almost like a barrage of like questions that I was asked and had to answer and had to not commit to anything, but definitely have to hold my own. And I felt like that there. Now, that's probably where I went to, because that's the, you know, most important and last relationship in my life. Now, JoJo's brothers, they were tough. They were tough, and they were asking me not similar questions to what Ariel's brother asked, but they were asking me questions about my intentions. They were asking me questions about where this is going to go and who's left. And they were asking me why I thought any of this could work. Now, I feel like the joke's on them a little bit now, because their sister went off to do the show herself and find love and get married. So all those questions were answered, and they seemed fine with it then, which is, you know, is cool. But I feel for Zach here. I get a protective older brother. I don't think he did anything wrong. I think this would be a weird thing for an older brother to be sitting in. However, asking them the questions that he asked Zach, it felt like he was trying to set Zach up for failure. Now,
yeah.
I will say this, and Ashley, that I want to hear your opinion on this. I think you can fall in love without knowing somebody's middle name and birthday.
1,000%.
I think it's very easy to fall in love with who the person is and who they are to you and who you are to them and what experiences you share together, and how much you enjoy them. I think I fell in love with Jessica before I knew her middle name and her birthday. I think I fell in love with Jessica on the first time we had our first date. And I looked across the table and I said, uh-oh, this could be something. And that's the first time I saw her in person. So I didn't know those things about her.
Mm-hmm. Ditto. Yeah. I don't think that knowing somebody's birthday is going to... I get what he's trying to get at. He's trying to say, like, you need to know their little details in order to know, like, if you love them. But that was a bad example because, like, that detail really means nothing. Asked Jared what his birthday was pretty close up so that I could be like, what's your zodiac sign? And so I can see if it's compatible with mine. Like, I can see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can fall in love with people without knowing those little facts about them. So yeah. I think it was a bad example, but I also think I know what he was getting at. I do think it was straight up rude when he said to Zach, he goes, so I know why you want to be with my sister, but why should my sister want to be with you? Like, what are you bringing to the table? And Zach hesitated. He didn't know how to like describe, you know, his best qualities, which I think a lot of people are kind of like, oh man, it's like a humbling thing. You know, like you don't normally self-describe, right? How we hate self-describing. We don't want to like talk about our best qualities because it seems in our hearts like bragging. However, it's an important question for the brother to ask, but it was so rude when he said, good answer when he was hesitating. He goes, good answer.
I think he was trying to be very tough.
Yeah, he was just like putting on like a do you think the producers were like, yo, you're a tough brother, lean into it?
Yeah, I think he was definitely fired up for this moment, and he went into it like knowing his role. I'm with you. He asked Zach that question. It's not a bad question. I'm not mad at that question. That's a good question. Yeah. Why should my sister want to be with you? That's a fair question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Zach answered it well, but I also think it's a very hard question to answer. I don't know how I'd answer it myself because yes, you either feel like you're bragging or you feel like you're underselling yourself, or possibly you feel like you're saying things just to say them, which is inauthentic. There's really no good way to respond to that, you know, other than just sitting there for a moment being like, it's a great question. So I get Zach's position. I don't think he did that. But I do think Zach could have sold himself a little harder. Like,
He's like, I have a good heart. I have a big heart. Like, that's like so basic.
Yeah. My biggest issue is that I have too big a heart. It drives me crazy. But, you know, he could have sold himself a little harder. I also would imagine if we took a step back, Zach was fired up inside. Like, he knew what this brother was going after.
Oh,
and he knew this brother was like trying to like diminish him a little bit.
Yeah.
And I bet Zach was holding, I mean, we've seen Zach confront things this year.
Yeah.
And I think we know that he doesn't hate confronting difficult situations. And I bet in his heart, he was like, all I want to do is tell this dude to like back off. And I can't because that would be really bad.
I love that you brought that up because I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, we know that Zach can get a little sassy.
Yeah.
Doesn't hold back. He'll talk right back to you. He'll say things that you were not expecting to say. You were not expecting to hear from somebody that you are just kind of acquaintances with. So he must have been biting his tongue. I know I saw that Zach, that little side of Zach come out a little bit with the dad. Maybe I'm overanalyzing. The dad was super sweet. I really love that man. But there was something that he said, and you could tell Zach was a little bit like, oh, I'm so tired of defending myself in this show right now. I don't remember exactly what it was.
But no, the rest of her family, I think, eased the pressures. Again, I don't know if there's anybody at fault here. I think there was some moments where, yes, the brother seemed to like dig in a little harder than I would have, but I'm not a brother, so I don't know. But overall, the family did wrap Zach up. I think Zach left feeling like, hey, I'm okay. I can continue this. If this goes to, you know, really well at the end, I could see myself in this family. It was all fine.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that's so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He left there and went to Charity's hometown, which I would argue was the best hometown. Like, I did not think she was going home because it felt like, one, the most fun, the most natural, the most accepting, the most kind. It was the one that it felt like Zach was, you know, he was eating and laughing and talking to the family. I really was surprised that Charity went home over Gabby. I thought her hometown date solidified her at least being there for another week, even though maybe their connection isn't matching like the Katie's of the world. It felt like this was a natural hometown date.
Yeah, it's so funny that you kept comparing it to Gabby and I kept comparing it to Ariel. Okay. Because I was like, I want to, like, Ariel, I like this girl's vibe a lot, but I don't know that I see Zach being in New York City, being with her family, just didn't seem super easy, but it felt easy for him being at Charity's family to me.
It did.
You're saying that it was as well. The family seemed really nice. The brother was like a little brotherly tough love, but like not a lot.
Fine.
It would like the daytime brings a certain lightness to it, I have to say. I feel like every time we do something a little bit during the daytime, like a picnic style, it feels a little bit lighter. Then Charity takes him to go square dancing. Great. Love that. And you can tell she's a little buzzed at the end of the night when they're making out. She's closing her eyes in the middle of a kiss. She's like, just letting you know I'm falling in love with you. She was definitely a little tips, right? A little tipsy.
She's having a good time.
Yeah.
You gotta love it.
I'm sorry, Charity, if I'm wrong, but I feel you, girl.
Yeah. I would be. I thought it was a great date. I did think that the daytime did bring about a different feel to it. I think the only reason why, you know, so we're saying pretty much now at this point, Charity, Gabby, and Ariel are all, according to this podcast, up for elimination this week.
Yeah.
Which I think points to, you know, where we think this is going. But Charity, I don't think Charity or any of these other women for that matter know the connections that Zach has with any of the other girls now. They've been kind of separated for a while. You know, they've lived in a hotel probably that none of the other women are there. And they have a producer there kind of reinforcing them and reassuring them that this relationship is good. And so their emotions are getting higher. Their feelings are getting more. They've been away from him for a bit. You know, it's interesting to me that Charity went home over Gabby. Yes. But in the grand scheme of things, is it shocking that Charity went home at all? No, because the next date with Katie, I think points to me just, where the standard is. Like the standard for this season is the connection that Zach and Katie have, or the interest that Zach has in Katie. For as critical and as like tough as he's been in some conversations with others, he's never been that way with Katie.
No, he's always gentle with her.
This date to me set up like a traditional bachelor date where it points us to what could be at the end, because it isn't fancy. It's them setting up stuff in their home. And those are always the dates to me, like the less fancy, the less glamorous of a date, the more like reality of the date. It points to me that the show's trying to make us fall in love with this couple in the real world, like giving us some examples of what they would look like. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this date was. It was a real world date that was cute in a way, was fun in a way, but it pointed to me like the show knows where this is going at this point.
Exactly. How convenient that these two live in the same city, and how perfect that she just moved there and they could do getting to know the city things together. They go to the grocery store. He puts together a shelf for her. Very normal. I like it. Then like the family lives there? Like really? How perfect is that?
Does her family actually live in Austin? I don't think
I don't know. We didn't get clarification. It seems to be an assumption though. Where are they going then?
Well,
they go to that house. You think that they didn't clarify it because the parents don't actually live there. The family doesn't actually live there. So then they put them up in a house, you think?
Yeah.
To make it look like it just is too perfect.
Yeah. I don't think they live in Austin. I bet if we watch this season back, we could actually find out where her family's at. I bet she has said it to him before.
Yeah, because if they did live there, they'd say something like, and then my family's are. I don't think they live in Austin. Just lives right down the street.
But
yeah, no.
For as up and down as this season's been to us here on the podcast, right now it is in an upstage to me. This is also one of my favorite parts of the show when stories get enhanced. But you know, we've been critical at times, like we are every season. We've been celebratory at times, like we are every season. Right now, it feels like this is in a good rhythm for the show, and that I'm enjoying each episode and watching them. I really like Katie, and I'm really glad that she is here at the end, at least in the final three with Zach. I didn't, you know, after their first one-on-one date at the museum or wherever,
We weren't blown away.
Understanding more about her, her strength, her story, her care for Zach, understanding her family dynamic, it makes me go, I think this is good. And I'm glad she's there because I think she will, she's there for the right reasons. I think, you know, that's a big deal to us. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty obvious. And so she's making this season, you know, outside of the lead of Zach, she's making this season, you know, an exciting one because I could see this couple working into the real world.
And I think their transition into the real world will be relatively easier than most, being that they live in the same city.
So much
being
easier.
That, according to both of them, and seeming like what we've seen, they're both there for the right reasons. They're not gonna gonna be that couple that moves to LA. They're just gonna do their life in Texas.
Do their thing. Yeah. Well, this is a couple I could see work, and credit to Katie's mom for being the person that she is to Katie and her family.
She seems like she's a nice lady, and I like the aunt too.
Yeah, yeah. The whole family.
Yeah, they really do seem very close.
Yeah, and I get why. So great hometown day there. We leave hometowns then, and we get to see Sean Lowe again. Ashley, question for you. And again, yeah. I love that Sean's on here. I said this on the podcast. If they called me and said, Ben, you're going to be the mentor for the season, I would say, thank you. I'll do it. And I would love it. Call me, show up to my house, whatever you need. I'm there. Do you think this is the last time we see Sean this season?
No. Okay. He's going to be there on this a freaking finale or something.
He's going to be the one at the end, welcoming them into love.
Move over, Jesse. You know, I feel like Sean should hand out the final rose, put it on the podium.
Yeah. We don't get a lot. Sean's a wise man, right? He is. We don't get a lot from him in these conversations. There's not one of these conversations.
It's so obvious. He's just well, I can't really help you much, but I love Catherine. That's basically every conversation. And it's very evident at this point that they had Sean do this because they really want to put in our heads that Zach is the next Sean. He is the Mr. Right Reasons. And this guy that we've chosen to be the Bachelor is going to end up like Sean. He's going to be the only other Bachelor who ends up with his final girl forever.
I mean, I think if Zach had it his way, he would be that. I think most Bachelors would have dreamed for that to
happen. Most Bachelors would like that.
Yeah, this doesn't happen all the time. That's fine too. Life works out. But yeah, I like Sean. Sean's a wise man. He's funny. I just feel
he's
like
funny.
There has not been one conversation he's had with Zach where I'm like, Sean, that was good. You're helping. Yeah. It's just very obvious statements. And then he's gone. It takes 2 minutes and we're out of there.
I know. Sean's so funny because you can tell that he knows it's all kind of silly. He doesn't take the situation too seriously. He's kind of look at me. I got really lucky. Can you believe I'm still with the girl that I met on The Bachelor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at his Twitter. He used to say that. We know how Sean feels. Well, the rose ceremony goes down. As we mentioned, Charity does go home. A little bit of a tense exit. I don't know, from your perspective, Ashley, as Zach is trying to explain himself, it does feel like most of the times when you over-explain yourself, you put your foot in your mouth, you end up saying something that's hurtful. You're saying something that the person that just got broken up with usually feels is disingenuous and it's not authentic to who you are and really the situation. So Charity just kind of stops him and says, no, don't say it. Stop, 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 stop. I'm going home. This hurts.
Yeah, but I agree, but also she was nice about it.
She was nice about it. I'm just
no, it's just it's okay. I don't need to hear your pleasantries. It's okay. I don't need to hear your pleasantries. I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, saying to somebody, it is a little bit of a harsh reality when he says, I just can't give you the love you deserve. What does that mean? You know, she asked the same question. What does that mean? The love I deserve? I think it's a good question to ask yourself. I don't know what that means.
I never like the deserve thing, you know? Yeah. Everybody, even when they tell it to me, you deserve it. It's I really find it hard to think that there are people out there that don't deserve love.
Yeah, I agree. I just haven't had that happen to me the other day. I'm going on vacation. I'm going to take a few days off. And somebody goes, you deserve it. And I was like,
yeah.
I don't know if I deserve it. I just feel I said I'm going to go do it. And that, you know.
I hate that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel... Sometimes I feel like deserving of everything, but also not deserving at all. Like, when people say that, it makes me be like, you're making me feel like I should be working harder.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Well,
I don't know.
Bachelor Headlines is next. Charity is going home. So it leaves us with Gabby, Katie, and Ariel left. Ashley, in order from who you think will be with Zach to who you think will be going home after Fantasy Suites.
It's very complicated now, Ben. Very complicated because I'm really torn between when Gabby and Ariel will leave, but in my head, they're both leaving. So it will be with Katie. He will end up being with Katie. He will end up being with Katie. This is just in my head. I don't know spoilers. Ben and I really don't know spoilers anymore. It's great.
It helps.
Because we are so far removed from the people on the show. Yeah.
I have no clue what's going to happen. I mean, I think I do, but...
You think... Well, we have a good guess. Let's talk about the scenes for the next episode, though, because they're juicy. He makes this pact with himself, basically, that he's not going to have sex in any of the Fantasy Suites, which I think is a very good idea, because it keeps everybody on an even playing field. It prevents situations like we saw with Clayton. It prevents situations like we saw with... Who else? When else has it gotten sloppy?
I don't know.
He's like basically every time.
Yeah, probably every time it gets weird.
Yeah. You know, you end up with somebody at the end of this. It's nice to say I wasn't with anyone else in those Fantasy Suites, you know.
I guarantee it makes things easier.
Okay, so that's what he's going to decide. I think it's great. But it seems like he doesn't stick to that because he says the words, I have been intimate with somebody.
Here's my theory. And you want to hear my
theory?
That's
great. That's great for us to watch.
Awful. Awful emotionally for everybody else involved.
I know.
Do you want to hear my theory?
Yes, please. Do you think that they're all like voiceovers from previous things?
No, I think it's a real thing. Okay. I think it's a real thing. If I remember right from watching it, I see him directly telling Gabby, I think, that he is choosing to not have sex during the Fantasy Suites.
And I bet you she goes first.
Yeah, so I don't think he has sex with Gabby. At some point between Ariel and Katie, they are intimate. I don't know with who, and I don't want to assume with who. That's not my place. But I did remember him saying it to Gabby. So
well,
I think
shit, Ben. I wanted to assume, but now I'll be a gross person.
Yeah. And so it happens. It happens, and he has to communicate it to Katie or Ariel. And I think it blows everything up. And I think he is with somebody at the end, I believe. I believe it's not going to be a pretty finish. And I believe there's going to have to be some healing and work being done because I think whoever he was intimate with is not
the girl he chooses.
Is not the girl he chooses.
Great TV ahead of us.
Yeah, that's
if
my
Ben's theory.
Theory
is correct.
Yeah, that's my theory. I have no clue if it's going to play out or not.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bachelor headlines. Let's jump into
it. Yes, please. Okay.
Bachelorette alum Ivan Hall is engaged to girlfriend Taylor. It felt like we were destined to be together. This is according to Us Weekly.
Yes. Us Weekly broke the news exclusively where he did an interview. He said, I can truly feel that being engaged feels amazing. He's 31, by the way. It's a mixture of excitement, joy, and anticipation for what the future holds. If you guys remember, Ivan played a big role on Tayshia's season, came in fourth, and now he is engaged to an anesthesiologist. So good for him. My dad's an anesthesiologist. It's a great person to have in the family.
Yes,
and they're great people.
It's a great
Their
thing.
Stereotype is the nerd doctor.
Well, we'll see if it plays out. Well, Zach Shallcross teases no sex in the fantasy suite rule, bites him in the ASS.
All right. So we're going to revisit this conversation again. This is an article that was written basically based on what they saw, but let's get some quotes going on here. All right. From what I can say, a lot of things do change going into that week. I thought I could basically, this is okay. Quotes from Zach, obviously. I'm so sorry. I didn't say that. I thought I could basically set up like a guideline for myself, a guideline for others to try to hold to make it less messy. And it bit us in the ass. Ooh. And then Jesse Palmer was surprised by Zach's decision and teased also in an interview that it may not be realistic if he wants to find the one. Ben, I'm sure you can... You have things to say about that. When Zach told me he was going to do this no sex with any women thing, I was sort of like, you're going to be able to do this? You're going to be tempted, you know. The fantasy suites are there for a reason. And sexual compatibility is a really big thing, especially if you're going to get down on one knee and ask someone to marry you. Also, what if the women want to have sex with you? You're kind of taking that option off the table. That was probably the most shocking moment because in all honesty, part of me kind of knew how it was going to end. I guess Jesse knew that the plan wasn't going to go as swimmingly as Zach may have hoped. So, Ben, what do you think when, I'm sorry if this is a little bit of a personal question, but it's been raised a bit, especially when fantasy suites roll around. Lots of people argue that people should have sex in those fantasy suites because if you're going to get engaged, you should know your sexual compatibility. What do you think?
I think it's up to the individual people, right? I mean, that's it. Every, I mean, it's not my story with Jessica. That's fair, right? We, I believe, have a very healthy and happy marriage, and we're doing just fine, and I love her a lot. And I think if you asked her, she'd say she loves me most of the time. Well, no, she loves me all the time. She likes me every now and again. I you know, I do think it's up to each couple. I kind of wish Jesse, as the host here, I don't know if this is the words he shared with Zach. If Zach had communicated this choice to Jesse, I kind of wish Jesse would have just said, I support you in this. That's smart. Mm-hmm. And here's why it's smart. And there is a wisdom to what Zach was trying to do. Now, I don't know if he successfully accomplished his mission, but there's a wisdom in that because ultimately at the end, he is going to get engaged to somebody and you are going to be tempted. Jesse's not wrong. These people are beautiful and you've gone without any type of intimacy for 3 months. When I'm talking any type of intimacy, I'm talking there's a handler pretty much standing outside your bathroom door privacy. As you're sharing. Yeah, you have no privacy. So you're all fueled up, right? And so I get, you know, what Jesse's saying is this is going to be a weird, hard moment for you. But I wish he would have also added, but Zach, this is smart. Because ultimately, in 2 weeks, I believe you're going to be engaged to somebody that you really love. And that conversation is going to be really hard to tell her that night, you know, when she asks you maybe about fantasy suites, what happened during that time. And so I respect it. I want to support you in it. How do we help you get there and get through this week without doing what you don't want to do?
Yeah.
So I think it's up to every individual person. I know there's people who have been leads on this show who have had sex with nobody in the fantasy suites. Mm-hmm. I know there are leads on this show who have had sex with everybody in the fantasy suites. And I know leads of the show where it's gone both ways and the relationships worked afterwards, maybe not forever, but it's worked for a period of time. So it is up to each individual person. That's just what I wish. I wish there would have been a little more like, hey, you can do it, buddy. I get it. You're not doing it because you don't want to and you're trying to take some like weird stance, you know, that we've had people take on this show. You're doing it because you believe that wisdom comes from making maybe the more prudent choice here for a bit. Well, Bachelorette Rachel says she's doing well after undergoing breast reduction surgery.
Yes. So it was right around her birthday. She had a breast reduction. She said, I'm doing well. Thank you so much. She's replying to fans on Instagram. She said that she's doing better than she thought she would. And she posted the video to TikTok. She showed her hair getting braided by her roommate, Genevieve. And she was preparing to have the surgery the next day. The music was signed, sealed, and delivered. She goes, the night before, getting my hair braided by Jen. And I don't have, so that I don't have a rat's nest, basically. Tomorrow morning, it's my last day with boobs. Want to see a nipple? She's joking. And then she was off to surgery. She kind of showed the situation a little bit in the mirror. Black sweatpants, matching black hoodie. You know, she just has having a good recovery from it. So good for her. I'm glad that she's doing what's going to make her feel best in her body.
Yeah, I'm glad she's healing well. Well, final headline, Serene Russell and Brandon Jones share stunning engagement photos and Bachelor Nation reacts.
Ooh, yeah. Bachelor Nation is loving these pictures, showing off Serene's Neil Lane ring. Lots of kisses in this photo shoot. And Danielle Maltby writes underneath it, oh my God, y'all, these are breathtaking. Genevieve says, cuties, you melt my heart. And Jill Chen says, most beautiful couple inside and out. The two of them are currently living in San Diego together after getting engaged about 8 months ago.
Well, that's all the headlines we have for you today.
And tomorrow we'll be back with another episode recapping Women Tell All. And we will have Jess, you know, Jess, who was eliminated a couple weeks ago because she didn't have a one-on-one in that whole argument. And we're going to be getting all the scoop from her about Women Tell All and about how all that went down in real life, that breakup with her and Zach. So stay tuned for that tomorrow.
With that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio, or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.